Father, we are so grateful for you, for the way that you work in our lives, for the plans that you have for us, and how good you are to each and every one of us. We thank you for these ladies, for providing this time and this opportunity for us to come together, to fellowship, to eat some wonderful food, and to get into your word and just talk about how we can worship you and learn from you and grow in you, Lord. What a blessing it is to be here with my sisters, to spend our morning with you, Lord. We pray that you speak to us this morning, speak to us through your word and through our conversations. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been really enjoying being outside, as I mentioned earlier. I think every year in the wintertime, I kind of forget how much I like to be outside because it gets cold. And then, you know, I don't want to go outside when it's freezing cold. My boys will. They ask me all the time, let's go outside. But I try to limit it. Okay, we'll do our hour a day outside and let's go get warm. But now that it's warmer outside, we've been spending a lot of our day from lunch until bedtime practically outside. And it's been really nice. It's been very nice to have that time, you know, outside in the warm weather, having them play. And boys are calmer when they're outside because they can run and do their thing and you get the opportunity to just kind of breathe. And so this past week, I was sitting outside reading my Bible as they were running around being boys on the lawn. And I looked up and one of my neighbors has these really beautiful redwood trees in her backyard. And I looked up at these trees and I was instantly reminded of Yosemite. I love Yosemite. I love the huge redwood trees. And I had this memory of standing at the bottom of the redwood trees, looking up and being reminded of how big our God is. Because there's something that makes you feel so small when you're next to these giant trees and you're just reminded, wow, I'm such a small piece of God's universe, of God's creation. And yet he loves me. He cares for me. And look at the beautiful things he has created. How big, how wonderful, how powerful our God is. And you know, it was cool though. I didn't have to be in Yosemite right then to experience that. It brought me back to that. I was able to, you know, see and learn from our God right there in my backyard. And I was able to, in that moment, be learning about him in different ways. I had my Bible out, so I was learning about him literally through his scripture and then looking up and learning about him through his creation, through his nature. And we all have that opportunity to where all day, in every part of our day, we have this availability, this opportunity to learn from the Lord. We can sit down and physically be reading our Bible, listening to the word, listening to a sermon, whatever it might be. Or we can be observing his creation in our day-to-day life, looking out our window when we're doing our dishes, when we're driving along the street, watching the creation. But we have this opportunity to learn from our Lord in every single thing that we do. And so today we're going to be looking at the two types of revelation that the Lord speaks to us through general revelation and special revelation. We'll start with general revelation. General revelation is God revealing himself to all people through creation, nature, and the order of the world. It is called general because it is available to everyone, everywhere, regardless of time, place, or culture. And through creation, people can see evidence of God's existence, power, wisdom, and creativity, even if they have never read the Bible. So just by looking out in the world and what God has created, we get to learn about him and see about him. So we'll start in Genesis 1, where we will look at the actual beginning of his creation. And it's a little small. We're not going to read the entire passage. I'm going to kind of skip around, summarize some parts. But that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created day and night, ocean and land, grass, herbs, fruit, animals. Verse 25, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 31, Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. So I'm sure we're all very familiar with the creation account. But in this account, we see that our world has a creator, and that creator is our God. Not only does the world have a creator, but so do we. God is our creator. God created us. And when we look at God's creation and the way that he created the world, the way that he created us, it's even more amazing when we just look at it and we consider all the things that God did for the greatness of this universe. We look at how big this world is, how big the stars are, the universe is. And God did that all by himself. He didn't have any help. God made this all on his own. And he is bigger and greater than his creation. For something to be made so big, so complex, so marvelous, our God has to be that much more than all of that to create that. And our God is. He created our universe with intention, with purpose, to function perfectly for us. We look at gravity, at where we are from the sun, our distance from the sun, at our own bodies, at everything that works together in the world and just how perfectly it functions. How if, you know, we were just a little bit further from the sun, our gravity, our temperature, all of that would be messed up. How if our bodies function a little differently, we would not be walking the same way. So everything that God created, he made so intentionally with purpose. And when we think about that, that is, I think, so wonderful to think of how marvelous and thoughtful our God is to create everything with this purpose and with this intention. And he made all of us different, us people here, male and female, different from every other created being. So God created the world, he created everything in the world. But then he looked at us and he made us different. First of all, we are created in God's image. There is nothing else on this world that is created in God's image except for us. And in that, we are distinct in our moral, intellectual, and in our spiritual capabilities. We are distinct in that because of how God made us. We have intrinsic value as being image bearers of God. And we function in this created order. God gave Adam and Eve, he gave us dominion over the earth on his behalf. So there's this created order that the Lord gave us. And so when we just look at Genesis 1, we see that our God is extremely powerful in the way that he created the world. He is orderly, he is good, he is creative, and he is personal for each and every one of us. Moving on to Psalms 19, we will see a little bit more about how when we observe God's beauty and God's nature, it can bring us to worship. Psalms 19, 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." So in this psalm, David is looking at the night sky, and he is clearly seeing the glory of God declared. He's looking up, and he sees that glory of God. I don't know how many of you guys have looked up at the night sky and seen all the stars, if it's a clear night, and just stood in awe and said, "Wow, our God made that. Look at how vast this universe is. Our God made that." So David could see in the night sky. He could see it in the blue sky with the sun and the clouds, with the sunsets and the sunrises. I mean, think of all the colors we have in a single sunset, in a single sunrise, and how they're all different. Every color is different. Our God is painting that picture for us every morning and every night. David again sees it in the night sky, in the moon, in the stars. He sees God's glory. And the God who created all of this is glorious. And looking at his creation is evidence of that. Our God, again, he's glorious in his size, having created something so big. He's glorious in his engineering, having created something that works together so well, so perfectly. He's glorious in his artistry, having created something so beautiful. God is glorious in his goodness and kindness, having created something for all humanity to see. He's created this earth, these beautiful pictures, this nature, for us to see, for us to enjoy. The day, the sky, the nighttime, they speak to us and they reveal knowledge about the glory, wisdom, and creative greatness of God. And the glory of God is visible in the heavens for all to see. It's something that's communicated to all of mankind, no matter their language. It's a message that he has given to go throughout the earth. Wherever you are, you can experience and see God's beauty and how beautiful the world is. You know, Stockton, California does not look the same as a town by the coast. California doesn't look the same as the East Coast or as a different country. You know, everywhere you go, you get to experience God's glory and his creation and his creativity. And that points to the goodness of our God. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So God shows us something of his eternal power and divine nature through creation, just by the things that are made. And he is given a general revelation. Again, this, his creation, is our general revelation that is obvious to us. And it's within the mind and heart of man. Everybody every day can observe this creation if they look up and they take the time to really look at it. It's available to everybody. And we can worship God through our general revelation, through his creation. When we look at his creation, we're reminded of his greatness and his goodness. Again, of the nature, of the order, of the beauty of his creation. And I think when we really take the time to stop and observe God's creation, to take a moment to breathe it in, our heart becomes a heart of awe and gratitude for just how wonderful and magnificent our God is. When we stop and take a moment to look at it. You know, I think we often get so busy, or can get busy in our day-to-day, that we're just driving to the next place, going to the next task, getting things done, that we forget that we can worship our God and what he has created. We can step outside, look outside our window, and see his creation, and spend time in his presence, and stop and enjoy being with him. We don't have to go 2 hours, 3 hours away to Yosemite. We don't have to drive away to a beautiful, secluded place, though we can. Those are wonderful places to learn about God and to enjoy his creation. But we can enjoy that right here too, in our backyards, in our homes, outside our windows. We can enjoy and appreciate God's creation through the general revelation that he has given us. And when we see how wonderful he is, we learn about him, we worship him, and then that changes our heart to want to learn even more about him. When you say, "Oh man, our God is so good, look at what he has created," I want to know that God. I want him to know me. And so then we do. We can personally then get to know our God through special revelation. Special revelation is God revealing himself in a direct and specific way through Scripture and Jesus Christ. It is called special because it gives clear knowledge of God's character, his will, and his plan for salvation, which cannot be known through creation alone. So God has given all of us now the opportunity to get to know him, his plan, his personality, to get to know him through Scripture. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world." So the author of Hebrews in this passage assumes that we learn of God's existence and some of his attributes from nature, which is that general revelation that we just talked about. And he talks about how he knows that God exists and that God has spoken to man. And he's given revelations to prophets in many different ways. We see parables, historical narratives, prophetic confrontations, dramatic presentations, Psalms, Proverbs. So he says, look, I know the Lord has already spoken to these prophets in these many different ways. But then God gave Jesus to us to come to the earth and to be a message for us from the Father. See, Jesus is more than the latest or the best prophets. He's God. And he has come to reveal something to us that no other prophet could. He has revealed something to us that nobody else could. Because when he came to this earth, they saw God's message purely from God here walking on this earth. And they got to know God's personality through Jesus and through that message that Jesus delivered. The message of grace, of love, of truth, and of hope. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. So John's connecting this coming of Jesus that we just talked about to humanity with God's coming to and living with Israel in the tent of the tabernacle. Remember, they used to have the tabernacles where the glory of God would be held, and that's where the glory of God would dwell. And so now John is comparing, you know, when Jesus came, now we get that dwelling with us. In our day-to-day life, we have Jesus, God, dwelling with us. And it's full of his grace and full of God's truth. This is where we get the gospel, where we obtain our salvation through what Jesus did on the cross, where we have a personal relationship with the Lord. We learn about God personally through who Jesus was, and through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, we now get that personal relationship with the Lord. But that only comes through knowing who he is in Scripture, learning about him, accepting him as our Lord and Savior. We'll finish up in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture comes from God, not from man. And God's ability to precisely predict a future event in the Bible and the way that he has built proof for the Bible right into the text is proof that the Bible was created by somebody who can see the future, who can shape the future, who knows the future, who has this knowledge. It was created by our God. An example of that is there are at least 322 distinct Old Testament predictions regarding the Messiah, which Jesus fulfilled perfectly. Examples are his birth in Bethlehem, his emergence from Egypt, healing of the sick, his death on the cross, and so on and so on. So in the Old Testament, long before Jesus, they predicted what the Messiah would be. And Jesus came and fulfilled those perfectly. And that is proof to us that our scriptures that we read come from God. They do not come from man. And there are countless of other examples, but that's just a quick one. So we know that when we read this scripture, we are reading God's word, what he wants for us. And we can honor God and honor his word by letting the text explain what it wants to explain and teach us. When we can read the text and wait for what God wants to tell us, what the text is saying, instead of imposing our own meaning on the text or putting our own opinions in the text. We need to proclaim what God has said in here for God's word, for what it is, And that is how we honor God. That is how we can worship God through the text. We want to be active studiers of our Bible, active studiers of our scripture, where we know our Bible inside and out. We are actively reading, actively learning, actively seeking out the Lord, because this is how he, again, is revealing himself to us through scripture. We get to know him and grow in our personal relationship with him. And so we want to be active in that, active in learning and knowing our God. And when we come to the Bible and we let God speak to us, it changes us. It makes us complete and it transforms us. It does that because the Bible is profitable and it can thoroughly equip us for every good work. When it says the Bible is complete in this passage, it means that the Bible leads me. It can lead you into everything that we need. If we read the scriptures, if we follow it, it can lead us into every single thing that we need. It can make us complete. And we need to be both a hearer and a doer of the word in order to be complete as a Christian, in order to be thoroughly equipped for every good work the Lord wants us to do. We need to be able to read our Bibles, take what it says, and then do it, actively live it out in our day-to-day life. And likewise, we need to be able to know why we are doing what we are doing. So it's reverse. We need to look at the Bible and live it out. And then we need to know, why am I doing what I'm doing? What does scripture say I should be doing? So we're actively doing, actively listening, actively hearing. It's both. We're active in our faith. We're not just letting somebody tell us what the Bible says, but we are personal in our word. We are personal with our Lord, personally learning about him. And in that, we are not ignoring what the Bible tells us to do. So we don't ignore prayer. We don't ignore worship. We don't ignore evangelism, good works to the needy, and so on and so on. Whatever the Bible commands us to do, we should not ignore those things if we are to be active hearers and doers, if we are to be active in our faith. Because the Bible is telling us to do those things. And to do those things, to follow those things, follow what the Lord says, is the only way to be completely transformed, thoroughly equipped for what he wants to do in our life. We can get so much from our scriptures, so much from the Lord, learn a ton about him. And scripture is what guides us to true worship. It teaches us how our worship should be directed. So it teaches us how to worship, but it also helps us understand our God more fully, to understand his plan, to understand his love for us, to understand what he is doing in our lives, in the world. You know, when hard things are happening and we say, why is this happening? Scripture helps us understand that. And then we can worship the Lord through that difficult moment. When good things are happening, same thing, scripture helps us understand that. Being in our word, learning about God through his special revelation helps us know about him more. And when we know our God, when we know how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, that leads us to worship, to worshiping him. Our worship begins with knowing who our God is. It starts with creation and with general revelation, which is showing us God's glory, his power, his creativity. It's showing us about our God. And then we go to our scripture. We go to Christ, to special revelation. And God's character, his plan for salvation is revealed to us. And that leads us to worship. Our relationship with God, the way that we interact with him, is our response. Our response to the revelation that he has given us. The revelation through the world and the revelation through his scripture. When we know God personally, we see his power, we see his beauty, we see his glory, we are inspired to true worship. And that worship starts, though, in that revelation from our God. That revelation that we see constantly in our lives. Looking out this window right now, I'm looking at these beautiful trees. You know, we can look wherever in God's creation and see his glory, see his power, see his goodness. And then we can look in his scripture to learn more about him, to get a deeper understanding from him. One of my favorite things that my four-year-old does is when there's a beautiful sunset, he likes to run upstairs to our bedroom, and we have a pretty view of a slough running in the backyard and some countryside, and he will turn off all of our lights, open the window, and just stand at it. And we've told him maybe once when he was little, God made that for you. And he will tell us every time, Mom, Dad, I have a surprise for you. And then we get up there and he goes, God made that for you. And he knows that God made this beautiful sunset for him, for us to enjoy. And he sees God through that. And then that little boy, he loves his Bible. Man, he loves his little children's Bible, and he knows those stories well. And he will tell us those stories. And the Lord has taken root of his heart. And we see his worship for God. He walks around the house singing worship songs that he's made up, and I have half the time no idea where the words come from. But he's worshiping our God every day. And my little two-year-old, his favorite song is Bible, Jesus, do-do-do-do-do. And he sings that all day long. And it's just so beautiful to see the heart of worship that even these small kids have and their minimal understanding of scripture, but that they have received from our creation and from what they can get from God's word. And so for us, when we really get in to God's scripture and when we really understand his creation and his word, his special revelation and his general revelation, imagine that heart of worship that it transforms in us, that it creates in us, and how that should impact and should shape our lives. And that's what we're going to spend the next now 3 months getting into now what does that look like in our lives. And we'll talk about prayer next time, and then song, and then action in our day-to-day life. So what do we ladies have? Thoughts, questions, comments, concerns? Yeah.
I so agree with you about, you know, experiencing the majesty of God through looking at nature. The first week in December, we got to go to Hawaii, and the lady at the desk, when we checked in, because we came in late, and it was pitch black out, we couldn't see a thing. But we knew we were near the ocean, and she said, when you wake up in the morning, you can see heaven. And so, you know, we were on Kauai, and I don't know if you know this, Kauai is overrun with chickens. And the roosters woke us up, and I'm like, I gotta go see heaven. So I ran out onto the lanai, and there was heaven. You know, there was the ocean, and there was the beautiful landscaping, and it was, you can't help but worship God. It's so awe-inspiring. And when night came, we had a clear, clear sky. And it was black and clear with all of these beautiful pinpoints of light. And again, you just can't help but worship. It's really good. And I like what you said about it's available to anybody. Even people who've never left the inner city can look up, you know. They may not have lush greenery to look at, but they can all look up and see what God's created up
there. Yeah.
Well, it's so cool that he made that just for us to enjoy. You know, he didn't have to make something so beautiful, but he did. And now we get that benefit of enjoying that. It's so cool to us how much our God loves us and is good for us, good and cares for us to let us enjoy those things. What else do we have? Questions, thoughts, comments, concerns?
My youngest sister's not a believer, and she's asked me, well, has God ever, have you ever heard God's voice and ever spoken to you? And, you know, you're just going to read the Bible. Is God's voice speaking to you?
Sorry. Even just listening to the birds outdoors, or you're at a traffic light,
You know, I always find myself not only praying for people, but just looking at the beauty of somebody, however they did their yard, or how a tree's developing or reformed differently, but there is so much beauty out there.
Did you have something?
It's just so incredible. I love being outside too. I always tell my husband, I'm going to go outside and play. Everybody else is under the working yard. No, I go outside and play. But there's a couple of really good groups, Answers in Genesis and Institute for Creation mm-hmm. Research, that are full of scientists
yeah.
who can show you why millions of years doesn't work and why creation in literal 24-hour days does work.
Right.
And there was an interesting conference mm-hmm. just a couple of weeks ago in Sacramento at William Jessup University that had a bunch of speakers who talked on that. They kind of went through it really quick and gave a lot of different places to go, you know, as far as looking it up. But it's, to me, it's satisfying to know that the Bible supports science and science supports the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's no split. Mm-hmm. There's no, you don't mm-hmm. have to be a scientist who believes just in science. You can't believe in the Bible. No, it's perfectly obvious. And there's so much evidence for creation in a short amount of time, just like the Bible says.
Yeah, absolutely.
My husband and I were sitting outside yesterday, you know, enjoying the weather, and our almost two-year-old grandson, that's where he likes to be, is out and about. And there's a comment, he goes, the dog walk came to pick him up. We were sitting relaxing, and they were talking, he's a former dentist, and she's a dental hygienist, so we always had a lot of things to talk about. Anyway, so he looked and goes, Gemma, look at that tree. And he goes, it's the vascular system. And we looked at this tree, and there were no leaves or anything on it, and it looked like the vascular system with all the babies and everything. And I thought, the same thing as you're talking about science and the Lord. Yeah. It was yesterday, I think it was there. So that was interesting.
Did anyone see the sunset yesterday? Because
I
was outside looking for my husband. He ran off again. I had taken my dog outside, and I just looked at it. It was just red and beautiful.
Yes.
And so I took a picture of it, and then I sent it to my daughter, and I said, in front of our house, and then she sends me a picture where she was at in the same red sky, right? So isn't that, this was so cool, is that, you know, the universe is so big that, you know, someone from across the state or, you know, down the street are seeing the same sky. And I heard a pastor say one time, you know, you think God would be, you know, like if I developed all this stuff, I'd have volumes and volumes and volumes explaining how I did this and why I did this. And God says, I think four words, and the stars. You know, like he didn't do a big to-do about, and look at the stars. You know, it just blows my mind that he didn't go on and on and on and on and on, and yet we can look up and just admire that beauty of his creation. And you know, he really did do that so that we can know him and see him in everything. And that's what's so beautiful. Anyway, and the stars. I just think that's so amazing.
God is very present, and he's very purposeful in everything. You have no way of knowing the song that she sang today. I was singing of the goodness of God. It was a year ago today that I sang that over my brother's grave. So you would have had no way of knowing that, but that was by chance that you did that today. I know that wasn't by chance. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. I believe it was very purposeful, and I believe that was just a little touch from the Lord today. My brother finally accepted his salvation about 72 hours before he passed away.
Wow.
Raised in the church and everything, and about 72 hours before, just finally surrendered and said, yes, you are the God of the universe. You are my Savior and my salvation. You know? And so there is a God. You know, he touches. I've shared with my friends. I shared with my dear friends. I know, I've got a video of us singing over this hole that there's nothing in, people. Nothing there we need. It's gone. But I just, you know, felt in this, I know that there are, you know, God, you know, angels, yeah, they're real. okay? The Holy Spirit, He is real. Everything.
We have to have awareness.
We do. You know.
See it.
You know.
You have to get your chance.
That awareness, the birds, everything, and don't question it. You know, as I'm not going to question that. That was just a beautiful gift to me today. That's God saying, "I've got him. He's here with me. You don't need to worry about it." You know, I worried about him every day because of just hellacious, salacious people that I'm around him. I don't worry anymore. I haven't worried a day about him. And honestly, please don't take this the wrong way. I haven't even missed him. That's not being mean.
No regrets.
Ask my dear friends. My God has given me such peace in my heart. Jamie, you don't worry about it. I've got him. We're going to have a new time together in heaven. But God reveals those things, and I just share with you, don't question them. When God reveals through his beauty and through others like this today, don't question him. Just listen and know that he is God and accept it. You know, there's so much peace to be had in that. So, anyway.
That's our lecture for today.
There you go.
Absolutely. Our God, he's so good. And as you ladies were sharing, you know, he speaks to us in these beautiful, beautiful ways. And we can choose to accept it, or we can choose to not. You know, there are plenty of people who look at creation and they see the evidence towards God and they choose to still not accept it. Mm-hmm. Or there are people who can be sitting in a beautiful location and their heads in their phone. They're not looking at that beautiful beauty the Lord has given them. So it's so easy for us, for the world, to see God, to see his goodness, to see the way he's speaking to them, and to turn to the other side, to walk away, to ignore it. But God has gifted us with this, and so it's our response to accept it, to enjoy it. And then we get to benefit from it. We can have his peace. We can have his love, his comfort, his understanding. Now, as some of our ladies were sharing, I think science often, if you really truly study science, it points to there being a God. Mm-hmm. But people choose to not want to believe in God, so they may believe in other things. But the way that God created this world points to him. And then he gives us even more of that than we need to learn about him, to know about him, to have this relationship with him. And our God is so good and so worthy of our worship and our praise. And when we spend our time in that, it makes our heart be in awe and want to reflect and worship and praise him. Any final thoughts before we close in a song of worship?
Well, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Every day, I walk every day, and this is as good as sound funny, but my doggies never get bored. Every morning it's new to them. Every day they see new things. I always think, you know, we go to the same trails and whatever. I'm amazed at them because they just find something new and exciting, and they're excited to be out, and they just, you know, they can't share it. But I mean, they love the world that God created. They want to be out there more than I do.
And no
sometimes and sometimes. Well, but children are the same way.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the same park every week, but they see something new, and they enjoy it, and appreciate it. So, you know, having childlike faith, and there's childlike attitudes and energy and thoughts we could do well to keep.
Just when I think my boys are bored of the outside and I'm ready to call them in, they'll get distracted by a bug on the ground, or a flower, or the dirt, and they, you know, they just find something to entertain them, and it's fascinating. They fixate on that. They want to learn about it, and you know, that's God's creation. We can never get bored of it because it's so vast and so beautiful. And that's the same with the scripture. You know, we can read it 100 times over, and every single time we will learn. He will reveal something new to us because that's who he is. That's how big, how vast, how wonderful our God is. Let's pray, and then we'll close in a song of worship, and feel free to hang out. There's quite a lot of food. I'm going to go make myself a plate as soon as we're done here. So grab some food, hang out, fellowship. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are so good to us. And we are incredibly grateful for you, for your creation, for the beauty that you give us to just observe, to see, to spend time with, Lord, for the way that we can look at your creation and we can see your goodness, your gloriousness, Father. And then we can turn to your scriptures and we can learn even more about you, Lord. We can learn about your character, about your plan, about your heart. We thank you for all the ways you reveal yourself to us here in this room, Lord, that you are constantly revealing yourself to us. In every second of our day, we can look and see you and spend time with you. We pray that you help us to continually have that heart of awe and gratitude for you. That every second of our day can be a worship to you, can come from praise for you, Father. And that we thoroughly enjoy these things that you have gifted us with, that you have created for us. That we don't take for granted for one second your beauty of your creation and the privilege it is to have your words in our hands, Lord. We pray that you help us continually turn back to the both of those. Help us live a life of worship for you, Father. Prepare our hearts for upcoming Easter. Help us share your beauty, your love, and your grace with those around us. We're so grateful for you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.